Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubos Daf Pei Vav, and we will begin on Daf Pei Hei Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Omle Rava Lebrei Rav Chiya Bar Avin. Rava said to the son of Rav Chiya Bar Avin, Ta Emelach Milsa Ma'al Yisod Hava Omer Ovoch. Let me repeat to you some of the wonderful teachings that I learned from your father. Hadam Shmuel. This that Shmuel teaches us. We know the halacha is that receivables, documents, can be sold. So says Shmuel, if somebody sells such a document, and then the malva, after him selling this document, is moichel, forgives the loan, moichel. It is a valid mechila. And there are two primary pshatim offered by the Rishonim in understanding why after the Malva sells his shtar, does he still have the ability to be Meichel. The Rambam explains that the entire concept of Mechiras Shtar Echoiv, the entire concept of selling Shtar Echoiv is only Midrabanan, and therefore since it's not something which is a valid transaction, Midaraisa, therefore, the loiver still has the ability to be Meichel. However, most Rishonim quote the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam, who explains that in every choiv, in every loan, which is committed to a document, there are actually two parts. One is the loan that's committed to the document, with all of the various halachas that we've discussed that apply to loans in a shtar. But then he explains that this is the crucial part of the transaction. There is the shibud haguf, where a person, when he borrowed money from someone else, became personally obligated to pay the debt that he incurred. And Rabbeinu Tam explains that that is the fundamental crucial element to this debt. And therefore the shibud haguf, which is created between the malva and the loiva, is the basis for the shibud in the shtar, and is the basis for the entire relationship. And therefore, if the malva, who is the person who lent the money, is meichel that shibud, the entire obligation disintegrates, and there is no longer a debt alive. And therefore, says the Gemara, Fila Yairish Meichel, this debt which passes on from the Malva to his Yarshim, so now the Malva assumes this place, and therefore the Malva has the right to forgive the debt. However, Moide Shmuel agrees, that if a woman brought into a marriage as nichsei malug a debt, a shtar choiv, the chazra machlosai, and then she attempts to forgive that debt, sheinu machol, that it will not be an effective mechila, neshiyodai kiyoda, her husband is partner now in this debt, and she does not have the ability to be meichel it by herself. So according to the Rambam's understanding that this is Omid Rabbonon, so Rambam explains, Al Muha Rabbonon Lishibudo Debal, that even though the entire concept of Mechirish Tar Chayvis, according to the Rambam, is only Mid Rabbonon, and therefore the Rambam explains, Shmuel says, it could be forgiven even after it was sold, says the Rambam, when we're dealing with a husband, Chazal wanted to strengthen the position of the husband, and the way they accomplished that was by saying that even if she is moichel this debt, it will not be effective. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's easier to understand the Gemara, because since now she got married, and yodoi ki yodo, the husband is also a principal in this debt, so she doesn't have the ability to be moichel it, he's also an active principal. And as the Rishonim explain, this is even more than just partners, because the Talmid Rabbeinu Yoina, the Shita quotes, explain. Whereas, if there were two partners in a debt who sell the Shtar Choyv, each partner could forgive his share of the debt. Here, however, it's not a typical partnership where one partner owns a certain percentage and the other partner owns the other percentage. Rather, the relationship of a husband and a wife in their joint ownership of the Nechsei Melug is that there are certain aspects of the Nechsei Melug that belong completely to the husband. For example, the payrois. There are certain aspects of the Nechsei Melug that belong completely to the wife. For example, the keren, the principal. And therefore, since this is a relationship, a very unique partnership, neither partner, not the husband nor the wife, can forgive this debt. Moreover, explained the Rishonim, our Gemara is not getting involved in the machloikis that we learned earlier in the perek between Abaye and Rava. If yodoi ki yodo, is the husband and wife equal, or yodoi adifa mi yodo, is he stronger? Because it makes no difference. Because of this relationship, neither has the ability to be meichel the debt after it was sold. The Rishonim, the Sma, quotes a Marik, who says that even though we've learned that a Yoirish can be meichel a debt, it's only if the Yoirish is already a godel. However, if the Yoirish is still only a cotton is not able to be meichel, and his mechila would not be effective. Says the Gemara, Kreva said Rav Nachman, Zvinta l'ksubasa b'tayvas anor. There was a relative of Rav Nachman who sold her ksuba b'tayvas anor. And as we've explained previously, when a woman sells her ksuba, she obviously has to sell it at a discount over the face value, for a number of reasons. First of all, the person who buys the ksuba doesn't know if it will ever be collectible. Because if the wife dies before the husband, this is not a ksuba that can be collected. Moreover, if the wife buys, even if the husband will die before the wife, or they get divorced, and the ksuba is collectible, it may be years until that happens. So typically, the ksuba was sold for tayvas hanah less than face value at a discount. And so did this relative of Rav Nachman do. Igrisha, and then her husband divorced her, Ushchiva, and she died, leaving behind a daughter. Also Katavala Labarta. So the people who had bought this ksuba now came to collect the ksuba from the daughter. And the obvious question that the Rishonim asked is, why did they come collect the ksuba from the daughter? They should have collected the ksuba from the husband who pays the ksuba. So some Rishonim explain that the daughter had come to her father to collect the ksuba, and the father was prepared to pay the daughter, and that's why the lekuchais went to the daughter. Other Rishonim explain that what had happened here was that the father and mother divorced, and indeed the lekuchis should have come to collect the ksuba from the father. But before they could have made such a collection, the father passed away, and now this daughter was the only Yoirish, so she took all of her father's estate. Included in that estate was the money that the father owed for the ksuba. Also katavale labarta, so the lekuchas are coming to the daughter to collect the ksuba. Amalhu Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman gave this daughter, who was his relative, advice. Lekin in the Sibila Eitzah is no one can give her some advice how to get out of having to pay this obligation. Tezav atechla ksubasa de ima legaba avua. She should go and forgive the amount of the ksuba, and then she'll inherit this money. So according to the Mefarshim that explained that the father was still alive, the Gemara is saying that she should forgive the ksuba chiyuv, because ultimately she will be the only Yorish, and this is the way she'll be able to get that money. According to the other Mefarshim, that her father had already passed away, they explain what she did was, she was, since she had already inherited all of the estate of her father, so she was essentially meichel to herself. She was meichel to herself this obligation. And really this two pshatim hinge on a question that we have already discussed. If one can be meichel himself, if mechila by definition requires at least two individuals, a meichel and a nimchal, or if one person can be meichel himself. And shama azla ichlata. So that's what this daughter did. Amar Rav Nachman. Then Rav Nachman, thinking over what he did, said, asinu atzmenu karchai deyanim. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, atas atzmecha karchai deyanim. Don't be a person that arranges arguments for defendants, for litigants who stand in front of a judge. And of course, the Mefarshim explained, we learned the sugya already in Daf Nun Beis, that it doesn't mean certainly that we shouldn't teach somebody to say something which is deceitful. Midvash Sheket Tirchak, that we don't need a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Here he's saying, even though I taught her something which is halachically permissible, it's still something I shouldn't have done. Ask the Mefarshim, why was this only something that wasn't the right thing to do? He was, Rav Nachman, with this advice, was causing a loss to the Lekuchos. They invested in this ksuba, and now will lose their money. So the Rishonim explain, certainly Rav Nachman's intention and what he told the girl was that they should pay, she should pay back the lekuchas, the amount of money they had paid her mother for the value of the ksuba. However, as we explained earlier, that was a discount to the face value of the ksuba. And what Rav Nachman was recommending to her was she should be meichel this obligation, so she will eventually get the full face value of the ksuba, and the lekuchas will only get back the discounted price that they paid. And then Rav Nachman regretted for saying this. Asking Mami, Kar my sover, or Psaif my sover. What did Rav Nachman think at the beginning that he gave her this advice, and then he regretted? Answers the Gemara, Mikar Sovim Apsar Chaloy Tesalim. At the beginning he thought that since she's his relative, he has an obligation to help her out and give her this advice. But then he recognized Adam Chosh of Shani, since he's a very important person, and people will learn from him and start acting in improper business manner, so he shouldn't have done this. Gufa, says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel. If somebody says a shtar chayv to someone else, and then afterwards he forgives the debt, machol, the debt is indeed forgiven. Even a yairish has the ability to be meichel a debt. Amar of Hunabreid Rishua, says Rav Hunabreid Rishua, v'pikeichaya. But if the person who's buying this loan document is smart, mekakish leizuzei, he offers the malva some money before the malva could forgive the loan, because l'shtar b'shmei, and the shtar is now written in the name of the purchaser. So there are a number of pshatim how to understand this Gemara. What? Because actually, as the Rishonim explained, he is now having a new shtar written in his name. The lekuach, the purchaser, has the shtar written in his name, but there's a disadvantage to the shtar, because we know that every shtar creates a lien on the assets of the loiva. And here, if this loan took place a year ago, and now the purchaser is buying a debt that's a year old, a shtar that's a year old, and a new shtar is going to be written today, so he loses out a year of lien that he could have. So that's why some Mefarshim suggest what he does is, he keeps the original shtar, but what they do is that they substitute and take out of the original shtar the name of the malva, and they put in the name of the purchaser. However, there are Mefarshim that don't agree with this approach, because they say once a shtar is tampered with, taking out one name and putting in another name, the shtar becomes completely disqualified. And therefore they explain that yes, there's a new shtar written on today's date, even though it carries with it a disadvantage that we lose the time interval of lien between the dates of the two shtaris. And what happens is as follows. If the malva is not meichel the debt, so then the purchaser of the shtar can use the original shtar. If, however, the malva is meichel the debt, so it does put the lekuach in a weaker position, but by him having this new shtar written, it doesn't completely put him out of the picture, and at least now he'll be able to go to the he'll be able to go back to the loiver, at least from the date of the newly written shtar. Omer Amemer, says Amemer, man the dawn dina de gami. The Gemara Masecht Baba Kama discusses a concept called Grama ben Nezakin and Garmi. The difference between Grama and Garmi is that Grama is where one only caused damage. The example given in the Gemara there is that if somebody broke the fence that was around someone else's field, and by him breaking the fence, an animal of his friend, of that person's that was in that field, escaped, that's called Grama ben Nezakin. He caused the hezek, but he wasn't actually direct. Garmi is a much more direct type of hezek. Two examples the Gemara gives of Garmi is, one is if someone went and burnt the shtari chayv that his colleague had. Someone had debt loans written in deeds, documents, and he burnt those documents. He hasn't actually been mazik his chaver. The debts are still there, but obviously you need this document to collect the debt, and by him burning those documents, he put his colleague in, he damaged his colleague, even though it isn't mamish a maisa hezek. Another example is that we've discussed many times, in the times of Chazal, documents were, currency was typically valuated, not certain currencies were valuable, certain currencies weren't valuable. Moreover, coins were valued at their weight, what actually was the weightage of the coin. And let's say someone received as payment certain currencies, certain coins, and he went to a shulchani, he went to a money changer to evaluate if these coins were valuable coins, were in current, were in being used, and the money changer said yes. And then after he did that, afterwards it discovered that the money changer was wrong, and that these coinage really were not valuable. The halacha is, say the mefarshim, that under these, that's also garmi. He caused them actual damage. So says the Gemara, Amar Meimer, man, the don dina de garmi. If someone judges a case of garmi, magbe shtar ma'alya. If someone was meichel, someone else the shtar, so he actually caused them damage. And therefore, he has to, if we follow Garmi, he would have to pay back for the damage that he caused to the purchaser of this debt. Some Rishonim say that the halacha of Groma and Garmi travel together. And if we hold that there's a concept of Garmi in the Zokin, so is there a concept of Groma. Others say, as we've explained, Groma and Garmi are very different, and even if Groma ben Zokin is potter, Garmi is chayef. However, man deloy don dan Garmi, if someone doesn't hold that Garmi is considered doing damage, magbebe dene nayaro ma'alma, then the person who was moichel the debt has the Lekuach, the purchaser, has no recourse. Some Rishonim say he has the piece of paper. It's a worthless piece of paper, and he can't make any claim. Others say that pshat is that the loiver always wants the document back. So now this Lekuach is holding on to the document. The malva was meichel the obligation, and now the loiva wants back the document, so it becomes the malva's obligation to pay the lekuach, or to figure out a way that the lekuach should give this document back to the loiva, that there should no longer be any document out there saying that the loiva owes money. Says the Gemara, Hava Uvda, there was one such a case where somebody was Moichel Achayf, the Kafir Rafram of Ashi, and Rafram Foster of Ashi, the Agbebe, and he collected damages, Kikishur Latsalmi. Shur Latsalmi was a beam that they sold, and this beam was used to engrave moldings. So when one would purchase such a beam, he would be very careful to examine that was in perfect shape. Here too, he says, somebody that did such an act did something which was completely wrong, and he has to pay damages to the lekuach. Taisus gives us words of introduction to the next Gemara. We know there are different times that people owe other people money. One is the situation of a ksuba. And as we've learned, a ksuba could be collected from karka, from property. A bal choiv, a creditor, if the loiva has cash, he's supposed to pay cash. If he doesn't, then he could pay his creditor with property. The same halacha is by nezakin. Even by nezakin, the halacha is that even if he has cash, he could pay with property, similar to the case of a ksuba. And then an employee always gets paid wages in cash, to the degree that if the employer only has property, it becomes the obligation of the employer to sell that property, transfer it into cash, and like that pay the employee. Amar Meimah Shmeid Rav Chama, Hayman De'ikol Lek Ksubas Isha Bal Choyv. If a person has a debt that he has to pay his wife's ksuba, and he has to pay a Bal Choyv. And as the Mefarshim explain, it doesn't make a difference what the dates of these obligations are, if the date of one is before the other. V'islei Ara V'islei Zuzi. And this person owns land, and he owns cash. The Bal Choyv gets paid cash, and the woman gets paid with the property. Each one, as the halacha is, as we said in our words of introduction, and the Rishayim say that the reason the Gemara adds the words Haikadine, the Shita brings the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina to teach us that even if the creditor says, I prefer property over cash, it makes no difference. We follow what the halacha is. He gets paid cash, and he gets paid, and she gets paid in property. However, v'loyik el achad ara, if there's only one piece of land, v'loychazi el achad. So here the Rishayim explain that the Gemara is referring to a case where both the tchoiv and the ksuba were written on the same day. So the obligation for these two came at the same time. So not a question, and there's only enough to pay one. Meaning that if either came prior to the other, then the Gemara wouldn't have this conversation. Certainly the first obligation gets paid first. Here we're referring to a situation where both of these obligations came on the same day. Says the Gemara, Lebal Chayv Yavinalei. We first pay the creditor. And not the ksuba. My tama, yaisi mashi isha roitzli isa isha roitzli nase. More than a man wants to get married, a woman wants to get married, and that's why we're not as concerned about the obligation to the wife as we are to the creditor, and we're more concerned to pay the creditor. Shloi tinel delf b'snei lovim. We want people to continue lending money, and therefore he comes first. Ask Taisvis. We just learned on Daf Pei Dalid that there was a mandam that said Mishim Chino, that we want women to want to get married, and we pay their ksuba before a debt. So here the Gemara is saying just the opposite. So Taisu says two answers. One answer Taisu says is there the Gemara was referring to a case where the person had already died. And there was a question, who comes first? Who is the Kaishal, as Reb Tarfon called it? since he says Taisus Misla Shchicha, that the person owning the money would die is La Shchicha, there we follow different rules than in this case. Another Teretz Taisus gives is, as Rabbi Kiva explained in that Mishnah Gemara, actually these Metantlin didn't belong not to the creditor nor to the wife. They really belonged to the Yisoyman. Just since they didn't yet come in to the possession of the Yisoyman, as we explained in that sugya, Rav Tarfin said we could give it to the creditor or to the wife. So it's an unusual situation where really neither is deserving of it. That's why we could follow other rules than in this case, where it's a regular situation where the debtor and the husband is alive, we pay the debts Shleitinel does with Neilovin first. Omalei Papal Rav Chana, Vadidam Ris Mishmei de Rava, is it true what you said in the name of the Rava, the high man Damaske Bezuzi, if somebody owes another person money, V'Islei Ara, and he has property and no cash, V'Asabachoy V'Katovimineh, and the creditor comes to claim his debt, V'Amlishkol Me'Ara, and the debtor tells him, take what I owe you from the property, Aminalei, we could tell him, Zil Zavanat, you, the debtor, should sell the property, vice havle, and like that you should pay cash to your creditor. Amalei, so he said to Rapapa, Loi. Rava did not say this. Amalei, so Rapapa says to him, Amalei gufa de uvda heiche havle, tell me exactly what happened. Amalei, he says the situation was, it was a situation where he really had cash, but he said that this cash was obligated or belonged to a guy, which was really not true. And he said it belonged to a guy, that nobody would want to disagree with that guy, and that's why he said, I can't give you the cash. Who are us shleika hagen? By saying something improper, what was not true. That's why lefikach asba shleika hagen, they required him to sell the field and get cash. But under normal circumstances, as we said earlier, the halacha is that if the Baal Choyv does not have any cash, he only has property, he may pay the creditor with land. Amalei Rav Kahana l'Rapapa. L'didach, according to you, the Amrit Prius Bachoiv Mitzvah. As the Mefarshim explained, there's a machlaikis between Rav Papa and Rav Chama. According to Rav Chama, the obligation to pay the shibud that one has to pay a debt, shibud deraisa, he holds all of one's properties of mortgage to his creditors. Rav Papa disagrees with that concept. Rather, Rav Papa holds the obligation to pay a debt is a mitzvah sasei. The pasuk Rashi says, the pasuk says, "V'hen tzedek yilochem," and explains the Gemara, "Hin shalcha yet tzedek." If a person says something, he is obligated to keep his word, and if he took a loan, he's obligated to pay it. So l'dach d'amr priyas b'chay mitzvah. The reason one has to pay his debts because it's such a mitzvah. Amalei, and let's say the debtor says, "Lo nichali da'avdi mitzvah." Not ready to do a mitzvah. My, what is the halacha? Amalei, Tanina. We learned in a braisa. The medvar mamurim, where is the halacha that one gets malchus if he is over an avera? The mitzvahs, loisa say. Ava mitzvah say. When it comes to mitzvah say, kigonsh amalei say sukkah vein oisa. Somebody's told, make a sukkah, and he doesn't want to. Lulav, take the lulav, and Oysen doesn't want to take the lulav. We force him. Here too, we force the debtor to fulfill the mitzvah to say of paying his loan. The Mefarshim asks, the Mechitz Chinuch asks, that in the Torah there's a lav of loisashik. And the Chinuch explains that the lav of loisashik means that one should not hold back, one has to pay his debts. So why, asks the Mechitz Chinuch, is this only a mitzvah sasei, not paying a debt? Why isn't it considered that he's being over a lois sasei? So Mechas Chinuch says that one is only transgressing the aveir of lois ashoik if he intends never to repay the debt. But let's say he intends possibly to pay the debt, just not right now. Then he's not over lois ashoik, but he's still over the mitzvah sasei that the Gemara quotes of Hin Tzedek. Chaim Brishka asks, that we learned earlier in our Masechta, Hamavazbis Ayavazbis Yoisim Chaimish. That if somebody has to do a mitzvah, he doesn't have to spend more than 20% to do a mitzvah. So if, asks Reb Chaim, the entire obligation to repay a debt is only because of this mitzvah saseh, so let's say the debt represents more than 20% of what I own, I shouldn't have to pay it. So Reb Chaim answers, and there are two ways of explaining Reb Chaim's answer. One way of explaining Reb Chaim's answer is, is that for my money, I don't have to spend more than 20% to be mekayim a mitzvah. I don't have to buy an esrig for more than 20% of what I own. However, here it's not my money. It's money that I owe to someone else. There is no din of amavazbis, ayavazbis, yoytzim mechaimish. Along the same lines, another way of explaining what Reb Chaim says is amavazbis, ayavazbis, yoytzim mechaimish is when there's a mitzvah that I have to do that only affects me. I need an esrig because I have the mitzvah taking dalad minim. So there I don't have to spend more than 20% of what I have. However, when it's a situation of that doesn't only affect me, it affects someone else, here, like a chayiv, there's an old din of hamavazbis, alavazbis yoshim mechaymish. There's a very interesting psak from the Bnei Yisoschar in the Agra of the Parka that he says that since our Gemara says prius bal chayiv mitzvah, so he says that one could even use maisa money to pay his debts. And many Paiskim take exception with what the Bnei Yisoschar says. The Chasam Sofer doesn't agree, and they explain that certainly in a situation that where one could, Baruch Hashem, afford to pay his debts, he's not allowed to use maisa money to pay his debts. They suggest that Bnei Yisoschar is referring to a situation where the person unfortunately has no other money. That's where the halacha is that he could use maisa money. Others say that the Bnei Yisoschar is referring to a situation where he didn't specifically designate that maisa money should be used for tzedakah. That's why the halacha is that he could use maisa money to pay off his debts. However, all the Paiskim certainly say that the Shevet Halevi, Rav Olzner, and his Tshuva say certainly one should not use maisa money, l'chatchila, to pay off his debts. Mefarshim also ask, here the Gemara says that if someone can't pay off his debts, makan oisoy achetetze nafshay, which is very difficult to understand. Of course, as we just explained, it's a very big mitzvah to pay one's debts, but does a person have to get killed achetetze nafshay if he can't pay his debts? So Mefarshim explained the Gemara based on the famous Rambam, that the Rambam says that the Gemara says in Masech de Gittin that in certain circumstances we force the person to give a get, we force him until he's willing to give a get. And the Rambam says because really every Jew wants to do the right thing, just sometimes the Yetzirah, the Satan, get it in the way. So we force him, his true person, his true, what he really wants to do comes out. Here too, explained the Mefarshim, Maknoisoi, this person who's obligated to pay his debt, we Maknoisoi should take to Nefeshoi until his Nefesh, his true inner self, which is good and wants to do the right thing, Tetzai comes out and he pays what he's obligated to pay. Says the Gemara, Barminei Rami Bachamar of Chizda. Hareza gitech, if somebody gives a get, but the get, he says, should not be effective until after 30 days. And as Tosfos says, that our Gemara is referring to a situation that the get should be effective me'achshav, as we learned earlier on daf pei beis. And the question here is, the halach is that for a woman's get to be effective, it has to be not in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. It has to be in a place where she could take ownership for it. So here in our Gemara, we said, Areza gitei v'loitiz garshi ba'el lachish loishim yoyim, v'hochsev v'nichsev v'tzidei Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. And she put the get in the side of Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. It's a place where there were walls, and it wasn't comfortable for the public to walk there. Mahu. If the get is still there at the end of the 30 days, is the get effective or not? Is it considered that it's in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and therefore not effective? or is it not considered Nishus Rabim and therefore effective? There's a Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that the get has to be there the entire 30 days. Some Rishonim say that it only has to be there on the 30th day. And actually that Machlokes depends on something that we discussed, an issue that we discussed in that base. How do we learn Mikan La'achash Lashem Yoyim? Is it that the Kinyan is being affected slowly throughout the whole 30 days, a little more each day, until it culminates on the 30th day? Those Rishonim would hold that the get has to be there all 30 days. But if we say it only culminates on the 30th day, it's effective retroactively, then we only have to look at what the situation is on the 30th day. Amalei, so Rav Chisda replied, Einem egreshes, the Rav and Shmuel. The get is not effective based on what we learned from Rav and Shmuel. The Rav and Shmuel, the Amri Tavayu, for who should tzavurim and menachem v'shus rabim? That the Halacha, the Rav Tarfon said that Tfisa works, is only when the assets of the father were in Rishus Rabim, and therefore the Yosimim were not able to acquire them. So we see that something that's in Rishus Rabim is not in an area where something could be acquired. And the Gemara is suggesting that Tzide Rishus Rabim have the same din as Rishus Rabim Dami. And the Mefarshim explained that that Tzide Rishus Rabim is not the same as a Simta. Because as we learned the Gemara, and a simta, the halacha is that it would become the assignments. This is Tzide Rishus Rabim, which is a distinct and different area than a simta. Says the Gemara, Adarabba, Megareshes with Rav Nachman. We could say that it is an effective get from what Rav Nachman said. Dom Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, Hay Melech Aveiro, if somebody says to his colleague, Meshach Parazu, do a Maisa Kinyan on this cow. Have Velaitia Laknu Yilcha Ad Lachash Lashem Yoyim, but the Kinyan should not be effective until after 30 days. Kana, so the Kinyan is effective. Afilai Medes Pagam, even if the animal is standing in a swamp at the end of 30 days. Mailaf, so the Gemara wants to suggest, Hainu Agam, Hainu Tzidrishus Rabim, that an Agam and a Tzidrishus Rabim have the same din. And just like there the Kinyan is effective, here too, if the get is in the Tzidrishus Rabim, it should be effective. Says the Gemara of Chizda said, Loi, Agam Luchud with Tzidir Rishus Ram Luchud. An Agam and a Tzidir Rishus Ram are not the same. And even though the Agam is a place where a Kinyan could take hold, Tzidir Rishus Ram is not such a place. Ikad Amri, a different version of this Gemara, Amalei Megureshes Midir Rav Nachman, that the get is effective because of what Rav Nachman said, that the Kinyan is effective, the animal is the Agam. And the Gemara is suggesting that Tzidir Rishus Rabim Kagam Dami. Says the Gemara, the Rami Bachama said, Adarabba, I suggest that any Megreshes Midirav Shmuel, because my life, Hain Rishus Rabim, Vain Tzid Rishus Rabim, and therefore, just like in Rishus Rabim, the get would not be effective, so too in a Tzid Rishus Rabim, and to that, Rav Chisda said, Loi, Rishus Rabim Luchud, Vitzid Rishus Rabim Luchud, Rishus Rabim and Tzid Rishus Rabim are not the same. And he's going to hold that the Tzidir Rishus Rabim have the same din like an Agam, or the same din as a Simta, and the Kinyan and the Get would be effective. Says the Mishnah, Hamoishev es Ishtoi Chenvonis. If somebody appoints his wife to be the storekeeper over his shop, or Shemina Apetropa, or he appointed her to be the administrator of his business, Hareiz Mezbiya Kozman Shiyurtsa. He has the right to impose on her an oath whenever he wishes that she did not abuse the money, that she did not embezzle the money. Even considering anything that he gives her, a needle or any of the food, a husband can always make his wife swear. And as the Rishonim explained, our Gemara is referring to a situation of Shema, our Mishnah Gemara, where the husband has no positive knowledge that his wife embezzled any money. In a case where he has real reason to believe that his wife embezzled money, the halacha would be very different. Says the Gemara, Ibailu, Rebbe Lezer, when Rebbe Lezer says that a husband can force his wife to swear, even al pilcha v'ali sosa, how do we understand Rebbe Lezer? Doesn't mean ayidei gilgul kamer, that it's a situation where she is his storekeeper, or she's an administrator, and she's swearing anyway. So under those circumstances, he could also make a swear, al pilchal v'alisasa, or or maybe even initially he can make her swear. A husband could approach a wife and make her swear that she didn't embezzle anything that he gave her. According to this understanding, that it's only Al Yidei Gilgal that Rebbe Elazar is allowing the Shavuot to take place. Why does the Tanna Kamma disagree with Rebbe Elazar? So the Tosfos explains, because the Tanna Kamma holds that this shvua of the when she's a storekeeper or administrator is only a shvua de Rabbanon, and the concept of Gilgul shvua was not said by a shvua de Rabbanon. Toshma, Amalei Rebbe Elazar, the Braisa said that the Chacham said to Rebbe Elazar, Ein Adam Dar Im Nachash B'Kfifa. You can't live with a man that way. Living, it's like living with a snake, that if he's not going to trust you, make you swear. Iyam b'shlam l'chatchila. Still, we say Rebbe Elazar referring to a situation where the husband is just coming to make his wife swear that the household items that she's using, she didn't embezzle. Shaper, we could understand the Chachamim's argument to Rebbe Elazar. Eli amrit al yidei Gilgal. But if we're going to say that the situation is a situation of Gilgal, my nafgal mina, she's swearing anyway. And says the Gemara, she could still say to her husband, Kivin dokedaiti basrai kolahai, since you're checking after me after to such an extent, lematin odabadach. If it's just a business, so I understand you want to make sure I'm taking care of the business properly. But to go this far, I can't live with you. And the Gemara brings a proof from a braisa, Toshma, Haresh Loipatis Ishtam and Anedim and Ashvua. If a husband did not exempt his wife from a neder or shvur, we're going to learn in the next mission that certain cases the husband does exempt his wife. Vishiva Chanvonis, and he made her a storekeeper. Or Shemina Petrupa, or he appointed her as the administrator over his business. Hareza Meshbia Kozman Shirza. He can make a swear whenever he wants. Lo Yeshiva Chanvonis, but if he didn't make her a storekeeper, Lo Yemina Petrupa, he didn't make her the administrator, and a Yochel Ashbi, he can't make a swear. Rebbe Elazar Amar Abish Lo Yeshiva Chanvonis, for Lo Yemina Petrupa, Harezman, Harei Mezbiya Kozman Shiyirza. He can make a swear whenever he wishes. Shein Lo Chayish Shlo Nas Apetropa Shoakas Bifdechai Bala. Every wife, to extent, is considered an administrator. Al Pilchaval Isosai. Omaloi. Ein Adam Darim Nachsh B'Kifah. So the Chacham said it's impossible for a wife to live with a husband that way. Shema Mina. So here we see clearly the L'chatchila. Rebbe Elazar is not referring to a situation that he's making it swear with a Gilgal. He's making her swear even if she's not an administrator. Shema Mina, that Rebbe Elazar holds that a husband can make a wife swear under those situations. What will be the halacha the Rishonim discuss if a husband can a husband hold his wife responsible for household damages? So Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi that says that, again, this would be a terrible break in Shalom Bayis. If a woman's going to break a dish, she's going to be held responsible, and she's not held, and therefore she's exempt from such damages. The Rambam says that this halacha is only if while she was doing household chores she broke something, she's not responsible. But if she just broke a dish, not while doing household chores, she would be responsible. The Chalkas Mechaikik, however, says that under all circumstances she's not responsible, because again, it's as the Gemara says, Ein Adam Darim Nachsh B'Kfifa, it's impossible to live under such circumstances. The Ravid says another reason why she's not responsible. He says that the Gemara says that a shomer is not responsible for damages kishabal of imoy, if the owner is with him. So says the Ravid, one's husband is always in the category of bal of imoy, and that's why his wife is not responsible for damages if she damages something in the house. The Gemara says in Masechta Gittin that even though originally a husband can make a wife swear when she came to collect the ksuba, it became difficult. We were concerned that women wouldn't swear truthfully, and we know that swearing falsely is a very serious aveira. So therefore Chazal said they should take a neder instead of a shvua. However, Kosovla, if the husband wrote, and as the Rishonim say, the same halacha would apply if he said it, Kosov is the same as if He said it, neder shvua ein li alayich, I don't require that you make a neder or shvua, then ein yochel ashbiya, that he can make a swear, av mashbiu as yoshea, that's a bomb reshusa, he can make her yarshim or her successor swear. However, if he said, neder shvua ein li alayich, va yoshayich, va boim reshusaych, I can't make you or your successor swear, any yachal ashbir, so she doesn't have to swear, lohi v'lo yoshea, v'lo habayim b'rishusa, aval, yarshav, his successes, mashbir noisa, bes yoshea, bes habayim b'rishusa, the people that come, they can make her or successes swear. In fact, the Gemara says, in Masech de Shavuos, that let's say the husband died first, and then afterwards she died, then her successors, her yarshim, would not be able to collect anything. So since the husband died first, she was right away mechuyev a shvua to his successors. She never had the opportunity to make that shvua. And the halacha is ein odem meir shvua labanav. A person can't give over a shvua an inheritance, and therefore her yarshim will not be able to collect anything. However, if he said nedav shvua ein li loy li yarshai v'loy labayim b'shusai, not me or my successors can make you alecha alayich by your shaykh by barim reshusaych any yachal ashbi, then he can't make a swear loyhu v'lo yash v'lo barim reshusay loyoysa v'lo yashay v'lo barim reshusay, not he nor his successors can make she or her successors swear. Halach mekav a battle of base of ear. If after she became a widow she went to a father's home, or she chazal beis chamia for the nasa petropia, or she did go back to her home, but she's not the administrator of the husband's property. Ain't a yarshim as being osay. The yarshim can make her swear because of this condition. However, the nasa petropia, if she comes back and becomes the administrator, a yarshim as being osay alosad lavoi, they can make her swear on what she now is managing. However, they must be saw al mashover, they can't make a swear on what she had during the husband's lifetime because of the stipulation that existed between the husband and the wife.